We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good morning. Welcome in. It is the debut of the Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I am your host, Brandon Kiley. Ben Alpert joining me this morning on the other side of the glass. We are going to be taking you up until noon right here on 610 Sports Radio, but that's not it. We have live and local programming for you all day long, going up until 5 o'clock today. It's going to be fantastic. Dusty Likens, Nick Price are going to be following me. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great day of radio. We are going live and local right here in Kansas City. It all starts with the Leadoff each and every Saturday from 10 o'clock until noon. I'm excited for this. I have been waiting for a long time to be able to host in Kansas City. I'm from Kansas City, born and raised here in this town. I love the Chiefs. I love the Royals. I've been through it all of you guys. I've been a fan just like you guys for as long as I can remember. So being able to do this with you guys each and every Saturday is going to be an absolute treat for me. So I'm excited to do it. If you guys want to get involved in the show, I'd love to hear from you. The Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line is 69306. You can hit me up on Twitter. I am at BK Sports Talk. You can also give us a call, 913-576-7610. We're going to be joined today by Therese Paylor coming up at 10:30. I've got a lot of Chiefs scenarios for the NFL draft. I'm a nerd when it comes to the draft. I've accepted this at this point. But Therese is right there with me. He's every bit as much of a nerd when it comes to the draft. So I'm going to throw as many scenarios by Therese Paylor for the Kansas City Chiefs 29th overall pick as I possibly can coming up at 10:30. We'll do that with him. Plus, my buddy David Leskey, he covers the Royals. He's fantastic. I want to ask him what the Royals really have in Brad Keller. Because last night I'm watching, they need a start that's going to get them through 7-6-7. They need a quality start. They need it. They need to get off the schneid. They've got a 10-game losing streak. Somebody's got to find a way to break this thing. And he did exactly what they needed. So I want to ask David Leskey what he thinks the Royals really have right now in Brad Keller. We'll do that coming up at 11:30. A lot of your texts and calls throughout the day. Plus, I've got to admit, I've been hard on Brett Veach. I think I've been, at times, unnecessarily hard on Brett Veach. I've got to tell you guys why I feel for Brett Veach. We'll do that coming up in 10 minutes. But where we begin today is with what I thought was the single coolest thing that's happened so far this Royal season. It didn't have to do with Adalberto Mondesi. No, it was Alex Gordon.
And Gordon hits a drive deep right field. Naquin to the wall and gone. Alex Gordon, 3-0.
Alex Gordon last night had his moment. Alex Gordon so far this year has had his moment. Alex Gordon looks like the player that the Royals thought they were re-signing when they re-signed him to this massive contract, the biggest one that they had given out in the history of their franchise. And I'm happy for him, man. I'm happy for Alex Gordon because this is a guy that did everything the right way. He came up, he failed, he went back down, he learned a new position, he became a gold glover at the new position. He becomes one of the faces of the franchise as this team, for the first time in a generation, actually did what we all hoped that eventually we would be able to see them do with the runs in 2014 and 2015. He was a huge part of how that happened, why it happened, and winning a world championship here in Kansas City. And over the last 2.5 years, it's been a rough go of it for Alex Gordon. But things are turning around for one Alex Gordon. Last year, the first 4 months of the season, he had a total of 20 RBIs. Now, Ben, you may not be a mathematician, but you probably know 20 RBIs in the first 4 months of the season. That's an average of 5 per month. That ain't great, man. That ain't great.
No, not great at all.
Last September, he had 19 RBIs. He essentially matched his first 4 months of the year and the final month of the season. Do you know how many RBIs, Ben, Alex Gordon has thus far this season? We're not even a month into the year. Do you know how many he has?
You tell me.
He has 13 RBIs. 13. We've played 13 games. He is averaging an RBI per game so far this year. In his last 65 games, he's batting .277. That's the old Alex Gordon. He's back. He's getting on base about 40% of the time. He's slugging .470. He has 16 doubles, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs. That's in his last 65 games. Alex Gordon is back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the guy that the Royals re-signed. Now, Alex Gordon isn't part of the future. We all know that. This is probably Alex Gordon's last year. And the reason why last night felt so special for me, and I'm guessing special for a lot of you guys, yes, it was the story about Charlie. That obviously was part of it. That was the tearjerker. But it was also the fact that I can now see in Kansas City what Dallas got to experience over the last 6 months with Dirk Nowitzki. I can now see in Kansas City what Miami got to experience over the last 6 months with Dwayne Wade. It's possible, Ben, that what we're watching right now is the last hurrah for Alex Gordon. It's possible that we're watching right now Alex Gordon go out the way we all hoped he would be able to. It's not on a good team. We all know that. We know what the record is. We know that this is not going to be a year that ends in the postseason. That's fine. That's fine. If this season goes down and it is remembered for two things, you saw the beginning of the next core with guys like Jorge Soler and Adalberto Mondesi and Brad Keller and Whit Merrifield. If that's part of it, and on the second half, on the back half of the season, what it is remembered for is that Alex Gordon gets the send-off that we saw this week with Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. That is a damn successful season. That is a successful season, and it's going to be something that we all remember moving forward because Alex Gordon deserves this. Alex Gordon was the first part of what made this team so special. Alex Gordon is the guy that we're going to remember as the first to sign up for this. He signed up not just for being here whenever he was drafted in Kansas City, re-signed again, and then re-signed once again. Yeah, he got his money. Of course he did. Everybody in this business should get their money. But Alex Gordon signed up to be a Royal for life. That's what he was. That's what he's been. That's what he hopefully is going to be. So if I were to set out how I hope that this goes, we'll see if it goes this way. But the way that I would like to see this go for Alex Gordon, especially after seeing how special last night was with him and with Kansas City, I would love to see around the All-Star break, maybe even early August, Alex Gordon comes out and he says, you know what, I want to hold a press conference. We don't hear from Alex Gordon often, but I want to hear from him for this. Says, listen, I would like to announce today that the 2019 season is going to be my last year as a Kansas City Royal. It's going to be my last year playing baseball. It's going to be my last hurrah. I've got 1-2 months left in my Major League Baseball career. I wanted to say this today because I wanted to enjoy what is the last few months of my career with this city that has embraced me so much, with this team that has been a part of my family for the last decade. I wanted to make sure that we could all go through this together and to be able to build around what I believe is the future of this team while I go out on top as a guy that had a Hall of Fame, Royals Hall of Fame level career, and a guy who had as many good memories in Kansas City as anybody not named George Brett. That's what I hope comes out of this year. When I was watching last night, man, and you see him look like the old Alex Gordon, I got a little worried that maybe this is not going to be his last year. But if it is, if he is going to go out like this, it made me feel optimistic that he's not going to get into July, which is prior to the season, the way that I felt like this was going to go. We're not going to get to July and be like, you know what? It's time to see Jorge Bonifacio out in left field. It's time to see what Bubba Starling can give the Kansas City Royals out in left field. It's time to see what somebody down in AAA, Phillips, what Brett Phillips can bring this team out in left field. We're not going to be saying that because Alex Gordon is not part of what plagues the Kansas City Royals in 2019. They got plenty of issues. You don't need me to tell you that. But Alex Gordon isn't one of them. Alex Gordon is playing like the guy that we all wanted him to be. Alex Gordon is looking like the player that we wanted the Royals to re-sign and didn't think they would have a chance to do so. So, 69306 is the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line. My Twitter is at BK Sports Talk. I would love to hear from you guys throughout the day today. We will be taking you up until 12 o'clock. I'm Brandon Kiley. Ben Alpert is on the other side of the class. You can always get involved as well by giving us a call at 913-576-7610. It is the Leadoff with Brandon Kiley on 610 Sports Radio. We'll catch up with Therese Paylor coming up at 10:30. My buddy David Leskey will talk some Royals with us coming up at 11:30. But coming up next, I was hard on Brett Veach. I said some mean things about Brett Veach. Welcome back in. It is the Leadoff with Brandon Kiley on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. The Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line is 69306. Would love to hear from you guys throughout the day. You can also get me on Twitter. I'm at BK Sports Talk. If you missed the news earlier this week, if you're just tuning in for the first time, and you should listen from 6 to 6 every weekday, of course. But we are going to be live for you, live and local, each and every Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. with our show, The Leadoff with Brandon Kiley. Coming up at noon, we've got Dusty Likens and Nick Price. And at 3 o'clock, Jillian Thomas and Chris Unocero will be with you guys, leading you into Cody Tapp's On Deck show coming up at 4:30 today. So we're going to be live and local each and every Saturday. Typically, it's going to be from 10 to 5. Today, we've got Royals baseball preempting us coming up at 4:30, but I know you guys are going to be A-OK with that. We've got Therese Paylor joining us coming up in 15 minutes. I first wanted to get into something, though, about the Chiefs, because I've been difficult on Brett Veach. I have been hard on Brett Veach. I have been confused by what Brett Veach has been trying to do all offseason, and I think a lot of you guys are with me. I think a lot of people have seen that the Chiefs had seemingly no plan on defense last year, couldn't find a way to get a stop in the most important game of the year when all they needed was literally one stop at some point in that game. And so it made sense to me that, hey, you try to do everything you possibly can to make sure that the defense is fixed this offseason. That was kind of the way that I went into the offseason. They've added Alex Okafor. They've added Emmanuel Ogba. They added Tyrann Mathieu, who's good, a really good player. But I felt like they needed more than just one really good piece to be able to fix this defense. And so, I've been difficult on Brett Veach. They trade D4, they cut Justin Houston, they get rid of Eric Berry. I thought there'd be more that would be coming in order to alleviate some of the players that they got rid of. So I've been hard on them. I think a little bit justifiably so, but earlier this week, we got a bigger part of the picture as to what Brett Veach's plan was. Because I was confused. What's the plan? I don't see the plan. I'm not understanding what the plan is. Well, I think Brett Veach had a plan. The problem is, the plan was to sign a Hall of Fame safety who decided to go elsewhere. Here's Earl Thomas on the Rich Eisen Show talking about just how close he was to being a Kansas City Chief. This rips my heart out, so stick with me. We'll talk this through together on the other side.
And I really thought I was going to go to Kansas City. I had committed there on a one-year deal worth like $12 million. And like the next morning I woke up, my agents called me and told me I had a better offer with the Ravens. So I definitely took that offer real quick.
So interesting. It looked like you were going to wear red and play in the AFC West, and suddenly the Ravens just swooped in. Did you have any meetings with the Ravens at all?
Well, I didn't have any meetings with the Ravens, and I actually had got off the phone with Andy Reid the night before I found out the news about the Ravens. So, the Chiefs actually was about to send me a private jet, and me and the family was packing up, getting ready to go, get on the jet, and go to Kansas City. And I woke up the next morning, and my agents told me that Baltimore really wanted me, and they offered me a mega deal, and I took that.
So hold on. I might have been wrong here the whole time. I might have been way too hard on Brett Veach, because it sounds to me, when I listen to that, Brett Veach had it done. It was over. Earl Thomas and Tyrann Mathieu were going to be on the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019. That was the plan. Brett Veach's plan came to action. It came to fruition. He had locked it in, baby. He got the two best safeties, in his opinion, on the market. The guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer who takes away everything deep in the center field, Earl Thomas. Let's sign him up on a one-year deal, essentially swapping out D Ford and his money for a second round pick in 2020 and Earl Thomas. That sounds like a great plan for me. Clap, round of applause for you, Brett Veach. That's a great idea. Yes, let's go with that. Oh, and by the way, instead of paying Justin Houston this year, we're going to go ahead and use that money to go sign Tyrann Mathieu. Okay, yeah, we're in on this, Brett Veach. We all agree that's a really good idea. Tyrann Mathieu and Earl Thomas instead of Justin Houston, an aging player in D Ford who's had one great season. I'm in. This sounds like a great plan. The rug got pulled out from under him, man. There's nothing Brett Veach could have done in this spot. And this is where I feel for Brett Veach. Because it seems very clear to me he had a plan. He saw what happened in that AFC Championship game with the Chiefs not being able to get to the quarterback, despite the fact that they had the best pass rush in the NFL last year. And he said, we're going to do this a different way. We're going to bring in two of the best safeties in the league. We're going to try to be able to cover on the back end, and hopefully that helps our pass rush get home a little bit more. If not, at least we got guys that can cover on the back end, hold up a little bit longer when we're going up against the likes of the New England Patriots in the playoffs. That was his plan, and it worked. He had it. It was done. He had the contract locked in. Earl Thomas was ready to get on the plane to come to Kansas City. And then he did, because the Baltimore Ravens came in with a contract offer that the Chiefs couldn't and shouldn't have offered him. They shouldn't have offered this to Earl Thomas. Too much money, too many years, shouldn't have tried to get it done. I agree with what Brett Veach did. Here's the problem now, though. You got to have a backup plan, man. You got to have a backup plan. And as of now, it doesn't seem to me like the Chiefs have a backup plan. Because maybe it was DeMarcus Lawrence. There was a report last week that the Chiefs were interested, at the very least, in getting DeMarcus Lawrence. Okay, that would make sense to me. A really good pass rusher. You missed out on the Hall of Fame safety. Go get the pass rusher. You change your plans. You got to move on the fly. You got to try to win the Super Bowl while you've got this Patrick Mahomes quarterback, MVP of the league, on a rookie deal. I could get behind that. Well, he signed a long-term deal in Dallas, so that's now off the table. This team can't trade for Frank Clark because of his past. He has a domestic violence incident in his past. You can't trade for that guy right now. You just can't do it. So the only other guy left that seemingly would make any sense that's on a franchise tag right now is Jadeveon Clowney. And I have a hard time seeing the Texans trading that guy to a team that's directly competing with them to win a Super Bowl. So when I hear this quote from Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football and NFL Network, I just have a difficult time coming up with a scenario where he's right.
They are rebuilding on defense with one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen. It's a fascinating storyline.
Yeah.
Question is, they have the 29th pick in the draft. Do they go defense there? And are they done? I've said this before. I said it at the Combine, said it at the owners' meetings. Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs.
We're listening.
Is a riverboat gambler. He wants to make a big splash. He's done it time and time again. Are there defensive players on the trading block from another team that we don't even know about that Veach could be looking for on a draft day trade? I find it really hard to believe that they're just going to walk into the regular season with a team with that defense, having lost all that talent and not replace it at all. There has to be some sort of answer because, Kay, we've said it time and time again. You can't win games in this league 51-50 every week and win in January that way. And right now, as the roster's built, it looks like it's all offense, and the defense has such a long way to go.
I'm with him. I agree. They need to make another move. I'm just sitting here, and I'm looking at who the guys are that are available, and it's hard for me to find the player. I hope Brett Veach has a backup plan. I'm rooting for him to have a backup plan. I think it sucks for him that he had a plan, the number one plan, plan A, and it just got pulled out from underneath him, and now he's stuck. Because there is no player that he's going to be able to get now that would have had the impact that a guy like Earl Thomas could have had for this defense. There's nobody out there because there is no other Earl Thomas. He's the best safety of this generation. On this side of Ed Reed, Earl Thomas is the best safety in the NFL. He almost had that guy coming to Kansas City. He had that guy coming to Kansas City until he didn't. And so now you've got to find plan B. And to me, I'm having a difficult time coming up with who that player is. And on top of that, finding the player is one thing. The second part of this is the timing of it all. If you look at when trades went down last year, if you look at how just logistically this all kind of comes together in the NFL, it is pretty simple. All of these things are done by the draft. All of them. So the Chiefs essentially have a deadline of Thursday, April 25th to be able to get this thing done. That's the deadline. Because right now the Chiefs have a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks this year. They have a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks next year. That's a lot to be able to deal from. You right now are holding the value, the assets that everybody else wants. So if you're going to be able to get this done, you have everything, all the ammunition you need to get it done. Once that day's gone, once the second round is over, you no longer have those assets. Those assets become players, and players are much less enviable for other teams. So Brett Veach needs to find plan B. That's number plan number one did not work. Plan B needs to come to fruition now. You've got a timeline. You got to find the player. The Chiefs have a deadline. They need to find the player and go get something done, because this is where the Chiefs find themselves right now. They thought they had plan A. I feel bad for Brett Veach that he didn't, but his job is now to be able to go find plan B that can get the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl the way that we all expect them to in 2020. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. Ben Alpert is on the other side of the glass. It's our debut show here on 610 Sports Radio. The Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line is 69306. You can always hit me up on Twitter at BKSportsDoc. Coming up next, I'm a draft nerd. I love getting into this stuff, man. There are very few people that I think are as into it as I am. Therese Paylor is one of them. I want to throw as many scenarios for the Kansas City Chiefs draft at Therese Paylor in 12 minutes as we possibly can, and we'll do it next on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I am Brandon Kiley. You can get me on Twitter at BK Sports Talk. Always get involved in the show on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line 69306. Right now, we are going out to the hotline to talk to my friend Therese Paylor. He's the NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Therese Paylor. Therese, how you doing this morning, my friend?
Great. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing very well. All right, so the way that I want to do this, Therese, is I want to run by a bunch of hypotheticals your way, because you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I can't remember a time when the Chiefs, it felt like, had this many different ways that they could go with their first-round pick. I mean, you were talking about this with Jay Binkley earlier this week on the draft special that you guys did together. It feels like the only positions to me that are completely off the board are quarterback and offensive tackle. Do you think that's about where you're at with this as well?
Pretty much. And honestly, BK, if the offensive tackle was good enough, you know, he could reduce his size, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like in general, they wouldn't take a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
But like literally every other position I really think is open. And I know that's a cliche. Like if you listen to sports talk radio and you listen to, football talk or read us, you know, we always say, they'll take the best player available. I mean, the GM's going to tell you that. But when you're picking at the end of the first round, I think this front office is smart enough to understand that, you know, you have to win right now. And it's going to be harder to win in the future because you're about to pay Patrick $200 million. So if you're going to try to maximize his window being fairly cheap, you got to try to win now. And that means making the most of your first-round pick. Find somebody that can help you immediately. Kind of doesn't matter the position.
All right, so let's go through a few of these. I put together a few scenarios. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts as we're talking with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports here on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. First one for you. The best case scenario for Brett Veach when he's picking at 29 is what?
That's an open-ended question a little bit, because I think it would be a top 20 player on your board at the following positions being available to draft for some reason. Edge rusher, interior defensive tackle, inside linebacker, corner, or safety. Ideally, a top 20 player, a player that they value as a true first-round pick, and I can run through what that means here if you want me to, is somehow available at 29.
Now, you said a true first-round pick if you want me to run through that. Go ahead and run through that. For the audience that may not understand, like, hey, a first-round pick, 29 overall, that should be a first-round player, right? So explain that for the listeners who may not understand. What does it mean to be a true first-round pick, even though, obviously, if you're picked at 29, you're a technical first-round pick?
Mm-hmm. Right. So when So John Dorsey used to talk about this all the time. When you're putting together your draft board, you never there might be 32 picks in the first round, my dude, but there's never 32 first round players. You know, there's never even 25, and you're lucky if there's 20. And when I say first round player, I mean a player who's truly worth a first round pick, who passes all your benchmarks to easily have a first round grade. Typically, it's like 15, and those benchmarks are the following. Does he have the tape of a first-round pick? Does he play well? Does he flash on tape? Do you watch him play? You say, oh, man, that guy's a first-round pick for sure, right? There are a lot of guys that kind of pass that. But the problem with some guys is that when they get to the testing portion, the physical testing portion, they don't measure up to the benchmarks of an elite player, of an elite athlete, or at least a good enough athlete, right? So you've got to have first-round tape. You've got to have the physical benchmarks. You've got to pass that. And also, is your character good enough? Like, can you be coached? Do you at least believe your coaching staff can reach the guy? And last, medical. Is there a medical issue with him that could prevent him from living up to his ability? If you can pass those four benchmarks in those four categories to a satisfactory level, you're going to be a first-round pick.
So one way that they can make sure that they get somebody from that category, Terez, would be a trade-up. This is something with the 2 second-round picks. It feels like they're at least in a situation where they could make a trade-up possible this year, maybe more so than in most seasons. So my question for you is, if the Chiefs were to trade up, if they decide, hey, we're going to go from 29 to 18, 21, somewhere around there, who do you think is the player that they're targeting? Because we always say, hey, the Chiefs should trade up. But when they do so, they're trading up for a specific player. They're not doing it just to get into a spot. Who do you think would make sense for the Chiefs to trade up for, whether it's one player or a few?
See, that's the thing. I'm not quite sure as far as, like, who they have in mind. But I do know this. I think it's going to be tough for Brett Veach to not make a move to 18 to 21. Because I know there's probably some guys in that upper half of the first round he really likes. And almost always one of those guys, like a really good player, is going to fall to like that 18 to 21 range. You know, I think it's possible that Greedy Williams is there. If you're not worried about the tackling, he's a first-round pick. Physically, he's really gifted. You know, he's got the ball skills. And immediately you bring him in, and now all of a sudden, if you're talking about you got Breland and Williams on the outside with Fuller as the nickel, that's pretty good. Like, I'll take that. Then there's all these edge rushers, right? Cleveland Farrell. You know, there's a lot of these edge rushers that kind of like maybe would maybe fit the bill and might not go in the top 16 picks. So it will be something like that. You know, there's the thing is, though, I hope, if I were a Chiefs fan, I would hope that they don't necessarily feel they have to do it, because I actually think there's some really good second round value here. And there's a lot of these safeties and defensive backs I kind of like in the second round. It's just defensive players in general, you know. One last thing I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
If Devin Bush Jr. from Michigan falls to like 20 or something.
Go get him. That's the guy right there.
Yeah. I can tell you're in. All right. Yeah, it's an inside linebacker already. But like, Devin, look, I'm a Michigan guy. Like, I'm wearing a Michigan sweatshirt now. That guy is outstanding. Like, he's got the bloodlines. His daddy played in the league, and he plays with so much energy and passion. Immediate plug-and-play starter as a middle linebacker, and that's kind of what you need right now.
He's small, but that dude's a blur. Like, he is so much fun to watch because he gets sideline to sideline. The thing that the Chiefs were missing last year is they really just didn't have anybody at linebacker who was going to be able to go sideline to sideline. If Chiefs fans want to latch on to somebody on this defense, that's the guy right there. They would absolutely fall in love with him.
Blur.
He's a lot of fun.
High pop and blur. Like, so the moment he makes his first play in the backfield, people are in. Like, they're in. Like, the moment, because we just didn't see a lot of that last year.
Right.
From the linebacker. Now, to be fair to Hitch, be fair to Ragland, I actually think that had a lot to do with the scheme. They were just kind of taking it for some reason.
Interesting.
As far as not being aggressive downhill, that would not be the case this year. They're going to be getting upfield and trying to make a play.
We're talking with Terez Paylor. He's the NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Terez Paylor. It is the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Brandon Kiley. All right, Terez, I want to run this scenario by you because I find it interesting. And I do find it potentially realistic, actually. Let's say that the Chiefs are on the clock. It's 29 overall. They did not trade up. The edge rushers are gone, which I think is likely with what we've seen so far. It feels like probably six of those guys are going to be gone before the Chiefs pick. Let's say that Brett Veach has all of the corners graded similarly. He's saying to himself, hey, there's six guys on the board right now, and I don't feel like any of them are really differentiated from the others. I think we can get one of these guys with our second-round pick. I'm not going to go that direction here. The linebackers and the defensive tackles that you think are legitimate difference makers are gone. In this scenario, Therese, what do you think Brett Veach does?
Trade down a Hollywood Brown or an offensive skill player. It doesn't have to be Hollywood. Fant's a good player. I got my issues with him, but he's a good player. He's a better athlete than T.J. Hockenson. And, like, if you read any of my draft stuff, you guys know how much I love T.J. Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a great player, but Fant actually is a better athlete. His hands worry me, but my point is, like, an offensive skill player is a possibility. If by some miracle Garrett Bradbury, the center from North Carolina State's there, you could defend that. I feel like we've all just kind of gone into this offseason and said, yeah, Austin Ryder's going to be a starter at center. Like, are we sure? They know what he can do. Like, I get it, but, like, you know, this offensive line's not above help. Like, they can use some run blocking help. And just an anchor for the center of the offensive line for 10 years. That's what Bradbury's going to be. By the way, there's some decent centers in this draft with second and third, fourth round value. So let's keep that in mind. I think it's either a trade down or they take the best offensive player available. And I think that latter scenario is actually, like, really possible.
So, and this will be the final question as we're talking with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports here on the Lead Off on 610 Sports Radio. For the people in our audience, and I know Carrington Harrison, who I work with each and every day, is certainly part of this group. For the people in our audience who say, Therese, how could you possibly take an offensive player in the first round? We just watched them put up more points than any team in the last decade, and the defense was an absolute nightmare last year. How are you going to go from that to 3 months later taking an offensive player in the first round? What would you say to them?
I think if you've been around the game of football long enough, either covering it or whatever, right, you learn not to pass on good football players. Like, the moment you start drafting for need, and the true need, and locking yourself into a position of need, the moment you start drafting and making exceptions on guys who don't have the physical traits to live up to the pick is the moment that you're going to start falling off. And by the way, that's the moment fans 3 years later are going to be like, well, you passed on. Let's say Marquise Brown becomes his cousin, Antonio Brown. Like, let's say he becomes a legitimate stud, right, an all-pro receiver. All the people pushing for the Chiefs to take a defensive player in this with their first-round pick will be the first ones to complain about, oh, man, they could have had Antonio Brown. Man, sorry, they could have had Hollywood Brown. No. Never do that. If you believe fully a guy can be an all-pro or a pro bowler or just take the best player. You're trying to build a football team. That's the beauty of football. It's 53 men on a roster. It's 22 guys that are starters. There's enough variation there and need there that you can take almost any position except quarterback. And if you truly believe the guy's going to be a starter, pro bowl level player, and you believe in the player, take him. Like, you cannot lock yourself in to, like, need, because people will be the first ones to complain about who they passed up in 3 years. Not even 3 years, 2 years, 1 year.
This year. You're giving people too much credit.
Right. It doesn't take, like, okay, how about this, right? So Jacksonville, a couple of years ago, right, they took Leonard Fournette, and I know a lot of people saying, hey, don't take a running back that high, but, you know, I'm not going to let people just forget history. You know, Fournette was a consensus top five pick, okay? Like, he was a guy that people said, okay, you take the best player available. Now, some people in the Chiefs organization would tell you they had Mahomes rated, you know, as an elite grade. Now, I can tell you for a fact that there are many people that want to go even higher than 10. So, my point is, had the Chiefs moved up to, like, five or whatever, and Fournette and Mahomes was on the board, even if people thought Fournette was the better player, they would have taken Mahomes because they believed in their grading system he was the best player available, right? And that would have worked out for him.
He is Terez Paylor. He's the NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. You can give him a follow on Twitter. You should give him a follow on Twitter, at Terez Paylor. You should read each and everything that he puts out. He's fantastic. Terez, we appreciate you joining us on the debut of The Leadoff Man. Always appreciate the time.
All right, anytime, man. You know that.
You bet. That is Terez Paylor joining us here on The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. There is a ton that I want to get to from what Terez just had to say. We'll get to some of that on the other side. Plus, the Royals 2019 season is not about the record. You already knew that, but there's two players that it is about, and I'll tell you who they are next on The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back. It is The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio. I am Brandon Kylie. You can give me a follow on Twitter at BK Sports Talk. Ben Alpert is on the other side of the glass with us today. Appreciate everything he's done for us today. 69306 is the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You can always give us a call, 913-576-7610. I want to quickly react to something Terez Paylor said on the other side, and then we will get to why I think there are two players that the Royals are building around and how their seasons directly impact whether or not 2019 is a successful year for the Royals. I'll get to that here in just a moment. First, I wanted to say this, because Terez has been one of the first on the line of thinking that the Chiefs could legitimately go with an offensive skill player in the first round. And when I say that, it sounds insane. Like, the idea of the Chiefs going from, hey, we have one of the best offenses in the league and the worst defense we have all ever seen, to, hey, yeah, 3 months later, the Chiefs are going to take a receiver in the first round. That sounds ridiculous. Like, we would all agree on the surface, without going any further, the say it aloud test, as Carrington likes to say, that sounds absurd. But also, we have to remember the context of all of this. Tyreek Hill, we have no idea what the future holds for him. We have no idea. And my guess, my projection would be, we're not going to know on draft night what the future holds for Tyreek Hill. And so you need to take that into account when the Chiefs are going into draft night and they're saying to themselves, man, there's this kid on the board that we legitimately think can be the next DeSean Jackson. Like, we think Hollywood Brown can be DeSean Jackson in the NFL. And we have a quarterback by the name of Patrick Mahomes, who just so happens to have a cannon of an arm better than any other quarterback in the league right now. That would seem to be a pretty good pairing between DeSean Jackson and the quarterback who throws the deep ball better than anybody else in the league. So, when Terez says, I think the Chiefs could go skill player, I think Hollywood Brown makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs at 29 overall, I kind of agree with him to a certain degree. I think it does make some sense. Yes, it makes a lot more sense for them to go with a corner or an edge rusher or a linebacker or a safety. Sometimes those guys just aren't there. Like, do you want the Chiefs to go defensive end and pick Breeland Speaks again just because they need a defensive end? I would say no. I would say, let's put it this way. Let me put it in terms that our audience will understand a little bit better. On one hand, you can have Breeland Speaks in his rookie year. On the other hand, you can have Juju Smith-Schuster in his rookie year. Which one do you think makes a bigger impact for the Chiefs in 2019? The answer is Juju Smith-Schuster. And so, yes, it sounds ridiculous to take the offensive player, but if you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, that's the stated goal, we all agree on that, then go get the player that's going to help you the most. Even if it sounds absurd on the surface, you've got to be able to go into places that make you a little bit uncomfortable to be able to get to the place to where you want to go. All right. So, honesty time. The Royals aren't good. You may have known that already, but the Royals really are not very good. Last night, notwithstanding, the Royals 2019 season, although last night was fun, not about the record. It's not about the record. I'm not worried about the record anymore. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. They won the World Series in 2015. We saw a miraculous run in 2014. They tried to keep it going in 2016. It didn't work. It failed. That's fine. Here we are now, projecting forward. This is where we've been before, Royals fans. We've done this thing before. We can do it again. We can ride this through. There is something different this time, though. There's something about this rebuild that is different than any other rebuild in the last 30 years for the Kansas City Royals. This time around, at the same time, they have a guy that projects to be a number one starter in Brad Keller, and they have a guy who projects to be a legitimate transcendent position player in Adalberto Mondesi. In my lifetime, I'm 26 years old, the Royals have never had those two things at the same time. Not once. A number one starter who they were able to have as he made his debut with the Royals. They didn't develop him. He's a Rule 5 guy. I get all of that. But he made his debut with the Royals. So he's essentially, quote-unquote, homegrown. Having that guy and having a homegrown superstar at the same time hasn't happened in my lifetime. I'm 26 years old. The Royals have that right now. And so the 2019 season, while not about the record, it is about those two guys. When I hear people like Denny Matthews and our own Cody Tapp, who is our Royals insider, talk about Mondesi in this way, this is what brings me hope as a Royals fan. Listen to what Denny Matthews, who's seen as much Royals baseball as literally anybody in the history of the franchise, had to say about Adalberto Mondesi.
I think he's going to work hard enough to be a premier shortstop. He may be the best shortstop in baseball before it's all said and done, and he certainly has the ability. I think he has the mindset for it. I think he's mentally tough enough, but again, you just have to avoid the injuries, and so far so good in that regard.
Denny Matthews, not one for overstating things, said Mondesi by the end of this year can be the best shortstop in all of baseball. Cody Tapp said he thinks Adalberto Mondesi can be a top five MVP candidate this year. Not 10 years down the road, not 5 years down the road. No, today. He thinks Adalberto Mondesi right now can be a top five MVP candidate. And then Cody Tapp was talking about Brad Keller, who last night we saw look like a number one starter. He looked like the guy that you want on the mound when you've got a streak and you've got to see it come to an end. And the Royals were in exactly that spot last night. 10-game losing streak, you got to find a way to put an end to it. Brad Keller did exactly that. That's what a number one starter looks like. Here's what Cody Tapp had to say about him.
Only question I have is the strikeouts. In today's baseball, big-time starters get a lot of strikeouts. He doesn't get as many. But yeah, he can because his stuff is good enough. Because he's, you know, we talk about, as much as we talk about Mondesi being 23 and Patrick Mahomes being 23, you know who else is 23? Brad Keller. Like, he was barely coming into baseball, right? He was a double-A pitcher. Like, he hadn't even fully developed in their system. He's a kid, too. He absolutely has enough stuff. He throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball with sink. That slider yesterday, by the way, was phenomenal. So I think he's got the stuff. I wouldn't anoint him there yet, but I think he's capable of it. I think his upside is that.
His upside is a number one starter. That's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a team that right now has players that projects to be a number one starter and a legitimate superstar at shortstop. We've never seen it. We've never seen it. In my history watching the Royals, I haven't seen it. Saw this yesterday just to kind of put a point on where right now Brad Keller is. 23 years old. Again, we're talking about projections as a number one starter. This is where he is today based on what he's already done in Major League Baseball. This is the complete list of American League pitchers with a better ERA than Keller since he debuted last season. The complete list. AL pitchers, better ERA than Keller since he debuted last year. Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young. Trevor Bauer, who we've seen plenty here in Kansas City, a superstar. Chris Sale, who's won a Cy Young. Justin Verlander, who's won a Cy Young. Mike Clevenger, who, that Indians rotation is just ridiculous. Garrett Cole, one of the best pitchers in baseball. And Corey Kluber, again, has won a Cy Young. That's the list. It's seven pitchers long since the start of last year when Brad Keller made his debut of American League pitchers that are currently having a better ERA than Keller. He's already a number one starter. Seven guys in the American League. There's 15 teams. Brad Keller for eight teams in the American League, at least, would be a number one starter right now. That's what we're watching in Kansas City. The record ain't good. It's not going to be good. This year is not going to get much better than what it is right now at 3-10. This is who they are. We know that. It's not about that. It's about Keller. It's about Mondesi. It's about Soler. It's about Witt. It's about the young guys and looking to the future. And right now, the Royals are building around two legitimate stars that we haven't seen anything like in the last 25-plus years. Coming up next on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio with myself, Brandon Kiley. This is as wide open as I can ever remember a draft for the Chiefs. And I legitimately think the only two positions that are off the table for them in the first round are offensive tackle and quarterback. I'll tell you why coming up on the leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.